have a show for you today. Are you kidding me, dog? Are you kidding me, dog? How's CYT? Okay. All right, we actually have a giant show for you guys. I need you guys to be share bears right now and going forward. We have the regular show for you guys. I have been attacked. My reputation has been besmirched. I shall fight back. That's in the second segment of this hour. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be fun when I rip into new establishment tools that we have found. We have found the fluffers of the establishment. Oh no. What is that going to be? That's going to be the next segment. I'm telling you, this is the time to panic and tell your friends and family. That's coming up in the next segment. And then Glenn Beck versus Tommy Lahren, round 18. Glenn Beck versus Roger Ailes, but on Bill O'Reilly's side. Interesting. Lots of warfare on the conservative side, plenty of warfare on the progressive side, including yours truly. That's all coming up later in the program. We have won an award, of course. Furthermore, I'll tell you about that later. I'm giving a speech and rally in Washington, D.C. You got to come check that out. TYTnetwork.com/resistance. If you're anywhere near Washington, Sunday, high noon, this Sunday, it is time to panic. You get updates through TYTnetwork.com/resistance as to where that speech is happening. Okay, I got a lot of stuff for you. I got to get going. One last thing. After the show, a whole nother show. Washington, what is this? Jimmy Dore, John Iadarola, Anna Kasparian. We're going to do an extra 2.5 hours for you guys today because we're almost out of time. Less than a week left for TYTnetwork.com/go. That's the fundraising drive. You can get this t-shirt for $127 donation right now. Dude, we're not at 2 million. We need to be at 2 million. We're not really that close. There's only like 5 days left. We have got to go. We got to go, 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 and we got to get there. All right, let me do the news for you guys. Woo, I'm in a hurry. Let's go to Milwaukee. Okay, now it says on our sidebar here, out for justice, and it has Sheriff David Clark. Don't be mistaken, he's not the one looking for justice, he's the one in the injustice business. Now a prosecutor is out for justice based on what Sheriff Clark has done. Yes, now I'm gonna explain it to you and I think that you're gonna agree with me. There was an inmate named Terrell Thomas that was in the prison system in the Milwaukee area, and now those prisoners are under the so-called guidance of Sheriff David Clark and so-called supervision, and it is obvious that they did not do much supervision at all. So who was Terrell Thomas? Well, he was a mentally ill man who last year died of severe dehydration in a jail run by Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Now, he was kept in a cell for 7 days straight after jail employees cut off his water supply, a prosecutor in Wisconsin said on Monday. Now, we told you about this story before. It's an absolute, not just injustice, it's an obvious crime. The guy died of thirst in prison. Look, I'll do an old school legal term for you guys. That's prima facie evidence. That is evidence on its face that there is a crime here. If he's under your supervision and you let him die of thirst, obviously something went very, very, very wrong. At a bare minimum, we're talking about some sort of negligent death. Okay, now I hesitate to say negligent homicide. I think it's a clear case of homicide. But I'm not the prosecutor here. The prosecutor is looking into charges though. You know, because people in authority in America, they feel like they're above the law and often they are treated like they're above the law. So like even investigating them on a super obvious crime seems like, whoa, right? So the prosecutor here says it is highly irregular and contrary to standard operating procedure in jail. I mean, look at how, I want to give the prosecutor in this case all the credit in the world for pursuing this. But even so, look at how soft that is. Like, well, it's highly irregular that you would not allow a man to drink water for so many days that he would pass away. Yeah, and is that contrary to standard operating procedure? I hope so. If that's not contrary to standard operating procedure, we've got a much, much larger problem. So Eric Height is the family attorney for the Thomas family. He says he was a pretrial detainee, meaning that he hadn't even gotten a trial yet. They hadn't even convicted him yet. And he was in a mental health crisis at the time. Everyone agrees he had mental health issues. Instead of providing him with desperately needed treatment, the Milwaukee County Jail disciplined Terrell by locking him in an isolation cell. giving him inedible Nutriloaf to eat, and shutting off his drinking water and supply for 7 days, causing him to suffer and die from profound dehydration. Now, is this not madness, guys? And I don't know why this isn't the biggest story there is. We're now letting people die in prison from dehydration. I literally haven't heard of a person dying from thirst in America in my lifetime, let alone when he's supposed to be under the supervision of people. Now look, there's so many different layers to this. So we've covered story after story in different prisons across the country that where they put people in isolation over and over again. Second of all, they put people with mental health conditions in solitary confinement far more often than they do other people. Instead of getting them treatment, they do further punishment. It doesn't work. They have a mental health issue. It's not like, oh, they're bad guys, they're not listening. You've got to get them help. But that's not the way our draconian, absurd system is working these days. Over the top punitive. And then there's the guys like Sheriff David Clark who brag about how, yeah, I'm going to do law and order. Law and order is not letting a guy under your care die because he couldn't get water. That's a crime. So now we go back to the prosecutor. In a court filing last month, the district attorney argued that abusing, neglecting, or ill-treating a prisoner is a public welfare offense. I mean, to say the least, a public welfare offense? I'm not the prosecutor there, and hopefully they bring this case to trial. And I'm not saying that they're even going to charge Sheriff David Clark. Looking at it from the outside, having worked as a prosecutor for just a tiny amount of time, a couple of months over the summers, I would think negligent homicide. I would go all the way up the chain of command. Whose responsibility was it? Now we'll see. Maybe they stop before Sheriff David Clark, and they say these particular guards that were on duty, or the managers, or the wardens of that prison who let him die, could have violated the public welfare. That is the least of the charges that could be against them. If that's the only charges they get, they should be lucky. But on the other hand, like I said, since we get no justice in America at all, I guess this is welcome news. And now to the guy I'm giving credit to here, Kurt Benkley, he's the assistant district attorney. He says, inmates are at the mercy of the jailers for basic life-sustaining necessities like water, food, and medical care. When a mentally ill inmate like Mr. Thomas is locked in solitary confinement without access to water, his life is totally in his jailer's hands. And he goes on to say, stupidity, thoughtlessness, indifference, and incompetence are not morally sufficient excuses nor valid legal defenses. Well, I mean, those four words right at the top there, good description of Sheriff David Clark, stupidity, thoughtlessness, indifference, and incompetence. So the next time you see this tough guy going around telling you about how he's law and order and he's gonna take care of the bad guys, etc., understand, no, he's not gonna take care of the bad guys. He is one of the bad guys. When you let someone die of thirst when you're supposed to take care of them, a lot of people would call that murder because you're responsible for them. The district attorney is calling it a crime. And you know what that makes you? That makes you one of the bad guys. I hope that they are out for justice and that justice finds David Clark in the legal proceedings. Okay, now we move forward. On another story of a bad guy Republican, and I'm going to give you a story of a good guy Republican, believe it or not, in a second. Okay? There's a guy who's running for governor in Virginia. His name is Corey Stewart. He's a Republican, and he loves his Civil War memorials in the South. He's very upset that New Orleans is going to take one of those down. A little bit of a problem. That statue celebrates people who basically went against multiracial healing and wanted to put white people back in charge. I am being awfully kind with that description. Okay, now. The Civil War memorials a lot of times are for generals that fought in the Civil War on the southern side. See, that would be the side that committed treason against the United States of America. That would be the traitors. That would be the people that led to a war that cost hundreds of thousands of American lives. You can't get a bigger traitor to America than starting a war against America. So obviously, Corey Stewart is deeply un-American, but let me tell you exactly what he said. First, graphic 18 here, he says, nothing is worse than a Yankee telling a Southerner that his monuments don't matter. Well, Corey, I would argue there's something slightly worse. That is monuments celebrating the people who tried to protect slavery. I would argue slavery is worse. I would argue when your side committed treason against the United States of America, that was worse. I would argue you still, after hundreds of years, supporting traitors who wanted to, and why did they go to that war? Why did they kill all those people? Because they wanted to, well, they still call it property rights. No. It's not about slavery. It's about states' rights. State right to do what? Own slaves. No, but it's not about slavery, it's about property rights. Which property? The human beings that I had for property called slaves. Yeah, it's about slavery, Corey, it's about slavery. I would argue that that's worse than taking down your stupid monument to traitors who committed treason against America. I love America, that's, we got an American flag right back there. Corey, apparently you don't, you should look into it. So when this came about, the good folks there are explained here at Mediaite that the tweet appears to be in response to a stealth decision by the city of New Orleans to remove the Liberty Palace, Place Monument. The 35-foot obelisk commemorates an 1874 white uprising against a Civil War era biracial municipal government. Yay, white uprisings to lynch people who are of the opposite race. Oh, nothing worse than a Yankee come telling a Southerner to take down his monuments when we go and went around lynching black people because we wanted to own them. Nothing worse, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's many, many things worse, including you, Corey Stewart. Here's another tweet by him, so unabashed. He says, tonight they tear down the statue of Beauregard. This is just the beginning. Yeah, that's right, it is just the beginning. That's the guy who started the Civil War, by the way. He's the Confederate military officer that ordered firing on Fort Sumner and started the war. So, well, that's, you know, that was Northern aggression having a base down here in South Carolina. South Carolina was part of the United States of America. Of course, the United States military would have had a base there. You guys are the ones who seceded. Now, we still, to this day, can you imagine? We still have all these people, a significant chunk of the population, who are still defending the Southern war of treason against America. They say, oh, well, no, Jake, that's not fair, man. They had to fire on America. They had to commit treason because it was their right to secede. Hey, don't call yourself an American. You want to call yourself something else? You want to call yourself a Confederate? You know, you're proud of your slave owning heritage and the deeply racist culture that used to exist in the South, that apparently still exists to this day because you guys are still defending it. Call yourself something else, okay? Call yourself a traitor, call yourself whatever you want, but you're not an American if you rebel against America, if you commit treason against America, and you actually literally go to war and kill Americans. You are not an American if that's the argument you're making. So take off your American flags, put down the, just own it, own it. Say, yeah, you're right. We love the racism back in the day. We wish it was still the case. The monuments to the racism we love, that's our heritage. And we're not really Americans. We're this country that would have been a really, really crappy country if we had succeeded in seceding. We'd have almost no industry and we would have been pathetic losers. A lot of the South now actually still some of the poorest, worst off states in the country. Now, you're all back in the country. I don't want you to go in that direction. I want you to be great. I want Mississippi and Alabama, the best states in the country. And I think we can help you get there. But in order to get there, you have to actually do some progress instead of clinging on to the past. And this guy's from Virginia. Say, oh no, don't take down my monument. Nothing worse than a Yankee. Yankee, who the hell are you talking about? All right. I want to help them get to the future. I want to help their citizens. I want to make Virginia better. I want to make Mississippi, Alabama, the whole South better. Okay, we want to make South Carolina better. But these guys are standing in the way because they think the old backwards ways were the right ways. They think it was a great idea that the South declared war against the United States of America. I think it was a terrible idea. Corey Stewart should never be elected, not even dog catcher. He can be elected to some sort of Klan official. That's God bless. You know, you want to be a Grand Wizard or something? Have at it, Corey Stewart. Okay. Now, let me go to a good Republican. Now, yes, there are many stories in the day when we have talk about misbehavior on the part of the Republicans, especially at the national level. And yes, there's some folks on the local level that are try to pass some odious laws and do some terrible things. Okay, but I do tell you from time to time that there are also great Republicans at the local level and the state level. At the national level, those guys are almost completely corrupted by money. And so when I tell you there's some good Republicans locally, I think that you might think, really? There's a lot of bad stories out there. Well, let me give you a good story and remind you of what folks are capable of. Now, story doesn't end, it doesn't start positively. It starts in North Carolina. Remember, Corey lost. He was the governor. He's the one who passed. He was obsessed with transgender people going into the right or wrong bathrooms, which has happened, what, 3 times in the history of North Carolina. Anyway, it was all about values, the value of hatred. The other, right? Well, good news for North Carolina. North Carolina, God bless, in the South, and said, no, we don't want McCrory. Costs a lot of money. That's not the values we believe in. So they throw him out of office, and they bring in Cooper, who's now the Democratic governor of North Carolina. And so what do the local Republican legislators do? They immediately basically do a coup and try to take away all the governor's powers. So as part of that, what they did was North Carolina now has always had a mandatory retirement age for judges. Now, to prevent the Democratic Party governor from appointing replacements for Court of Appeals judges nearing forced retirement, the Republican legislature passed a bill to shrink the size of the courts from 15 to 12 judges, thereby denying the Democrat of the 3 scheduled appointments. Okay, well, that's a dirty trick. So they unpacked the court. They said, bench supposed to have 15, who cares? We're changing the law because there's a Democrat and we don't want him to have any power. So democracy, rules, laws, who cares? Just change the rules, change the rules, because all we care about partisanship. Okay. Now that's unfortunately the legislators, okay? But there was a principal Republican by the name of Judge McCullough who's already on the bench. Now he's supposed to retire, but when he does, oops, because of the new law that the Republican legislators are going to pass, the Democratic governor cannot put a new judge in his place. Well, you know what Judge McCullough did? He resigned 36 days prior to his forced retirement. Now, understand, Judge McCullough, definitely a Republican, worked as a staffer for Senator Harrison Schmidt, Republican of New Mexico, before being appointed by President Ronald Reagan as United States Attorney in Eastern District of North Carolina. So why did J. Douglas McCullough step down to make sure that the Democratic governor can appoint a nominee? He said, quote, this is 3 sentences, let me give you one of them in his resignation letter. I did not want my legacy to be the elimination of a seat and the impairment of a court that I have served on. Now that's a man of principle. And I'm telling you right now, there are good Republicans out there in the country. Now he's a judge, so he's not involved in this corrupted political system as much. And the more you stay in that corrupted system, the more you become part of that establishment, the more you dial for dollars, and the dirtier and dirtier that pool gets. But Judge McCullough was above that pool, and he said, no, that it's not the right thing to do, even if it's the Republicans doing it. You're not supposed to eliminate these positions for judges. And so he stepped down early, and the new Democratic governor was able to put in his nominee into that position instead. And the new judge, by the way, also happens to be a gay American. So that probably stung the Republican legislators in North Carolina a little bit more. But God bless Judge McCullough for actually having principles. Oh, that sneeze came in the nick of time. Okay, I was just done with the story. We're moving forward. It's a weird day. It's a weird day. Okay. There's a new poll out. I'm told by the pundits on television that we're a center-right country and that Americans hate big government. That's what I'm told over and over. So I'm sure when they ask about, hey, do you want the government to be more involved, Americans are going to scream in unison, no, we hate government. Well, let's find out. A new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll finds that 57% of the public saying that the government should do more to solve problems and meet the needs of Americans versus 39% who said the government is doing too many things better left to business and individuals. Wait a second, 57 saying government should do more. it almost seems like the American people want the government to do more, not less. That they're not worried about big government, they're worried that the government isn't doing enough. Could all those pundits on television be wrong? No, unimaginable. By the way, it's an NBC News poll. Give them credit for the poll. Good, solid information. That's why I don't believe in tearing the media down. I believe in constructive critique to make them better. But my guess is, and we'll see how this plays out, that NBC News, despite doing this poll, will forget about it the next day. And on tomorrow, on Morning Joe, they'll be having a conversation about, it's a center-right country. Americans don't want big government, they want big business. They love big business. Now, by the way, another poll indicated big business is the only thing less popular than politicians and the mainstream media. But nonetheless, on TV, you'll hear over and over, those television stations, by the way, owned by big business, we'll tell you that big business is awesome and that American people love it. But they don't like government. Deregulate to let big business have complete free reign over our society. Apparently, the American people do not agree. This is the highest share, as NBC explains, yearning for a more active government since the poll began asking voters about the role of government in 1995. Here, let's show you a couple of quick charts here. This is the one where it shows you the role of government. And back in 95, by the way, what led to people thinking government was so terrible? Who was president back then? Oh, right, Bill Clinton. And what did he say? The era of big government is over, and helped to propel Republican propaganda as a Democratic president. And unsurprisingly, when the Democrats and Republicans all agreed that government sucked, the American people were led with the belief that government sucks. But since then, you know what they've seen? They've seen sometimes the government work for them, whether it's providing them health insurance or a lot of folks are on tough times getting food stamps. They've seen big business run roughshod over them. All of a sudden, the poll completely flips around and goes, no. We want the government to do more, not less, because we trust, as corrupt as the politicians are, we still trust the government to do more than big business or individuals doing things out of the goodness of their heart. Because we haven't seen too much of that lately. Now, let me show you the next chart. This shows you Democrats, Republicans, and independents in the middle. Even Republicans at the bottom, you see there. Of course, they're still less popular, government's less popular with them. But that number is even rising. But to me, the most important part is the independents. It used to be about -22% independents saying government should do less. Now it's about the same number, over 20% positive independents saying government should do more. So, pundits, straighten out, okay? The rest of the mainstream media, don't go around saying Americans want less government. It isn't true. It isn't factually correct. Okay, now they also tested some other issues. Now I say on the program all the time that we're a center-left country, and it's not my opinion. It's actually the opinion of the American people. I do it based on facts, data, and polling. Unlike the pundits who talk about, it's in my gut. I think we're center-right. Yeah, America likes the right wing, right? Now, you're gonna say, well, Jen, come on, look at some of the tougher issues. How about, for example, immigration? I mean, we have Trump as president, so obviously the country wants to be tougher on immigrants, right? Well, let's find out. 60% of the public think that immigration helps more than it hurts. And by the way, that's up 6 points from September of 2016. So it turns out, no, the country kind of likes immigrants. In fact, immigration reform with a pathway to citizenship tests higher than 60% in other polling. That's around 64% if I remember correctly. So what happened to a country doesn't like immigrants? It isn't true. Now, you say, what, Trump won. No, that's not a panacea. That's not to say, okay, well then every odious thing that Trump has ever thought must be what the American people think. No, Trump didn't win, the Democrats lost. Trump had a 37% approval rating on the day of the election. He was grossly unpopular, and the voter turnout was low, etc. No, it's just that his opponent was even less popular. Why? Because she ran on no policy issues at all, and she said the status quo is awesome, and American people do not like the status quo. That's also based on polling. They don't like the establishment. The establishment doesn't like to talk about that and doesn't like to report on that, because they are the establishment, including the media. All right, wait. Now, one more here, climate change. Again, Trump won. I'm led to believe that American people don't believe in climate change, right? I mean, come on. Trump's going completely in the opposite direction. A combined 67% of respondents believe that either immediate action should be taken to combat global climate change or that some action should be taken. So Over 2/3 of Americans say, for God's sake, take action on climate change. Yet, you know, our politicians go in the exact opposite direction, and our media tells us, no, 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 we're a center-right country. So apparently the people don't want to do about anything about climate change. They don't want immigration reform, and they don't want tax increases on the rich. Also not true. Every single poll, protect Social Security, protect Medicare, and you know it. Everybody knows it. Tax cuts on the rich are not popular. Tax increases on the rich are popular. Look at the polling. And then cutting defense is actually a popular position. You never see that on TV. Oh, defense, yes. Finally, Trump became president when he bombed Syria even more. Huzzah, here we go, or hurrah, whatever these people say, right? No, look at the actual polling. And today, this particular poll tells you that American people want more government, they want action on climate change, and they want actually to be decent to immigrants. If we had an actual functioning democracy, we might even have representatives who represented those positions, or a media that can recognize it at all. Okay, when we come back, more good news, bad news on the media. Right wing attacks them in a sick way. I will defend the media against that. And then I am attacked in kind of a fun, sick way. I will attack in a equally fun, sick way. Come on, that's fun. Share this stream because it's about to get interesting when we come back. Hey, we're back on the Young Turks, guys. I thought I had new donors here. I don't. Let me get some donors up here in tytnetwork.com/go. All right. Jodeshi says, there's no way I pronounced that right. That's why I was pausing. Damn, Cenk Uygur, 3 stories in 20 minutes. This is a weird day. Dude, it's about to get much, much weirder. Unregistered Chicano says, these fucknuts know the war ended 100. All right, I already love this in a couple of different ways. These fucknuts know the war ended 153 years ago, right? Spoiler alert, they lost. I love it. Okay. And the Mad Lib says, there's nothing worse than an un-American racist treasonous assholes telling the rest of us what it means to be an American. Agreed. Okay. Now I'm going to give you guys good news. No, those are gone. Okay. Sad day. Now good day. This weekend in Washington, D.C., we're going nuts. Nuts. We're going nuts. House TYT in the house. Okay. So climate march and resistance rally. Okay. So here's what you got to do. Okay. You sign up for SMS and email alerts at tytnetwork.com/resistance. Why do you do that? Hold on. Come back to me for a second. I'll give you the rest of these instructions in a second. We do it because every once in a while I'll show up in a city and we're going to do an event and people will be like, oh, why didn't you tell me? Well, dude, you got to sign up for us to tell you, right? Otherwise, there's no way that I could actually tell you. I can't go to your house. I'm not going to come to your house, okay? But I am coming to the establishment's house. Like, for example, this weekend, we have a Watchdog Correspondents Dinner. That's for celebrating Watchdog journalists. That's right across the street from the White House Correspondents Dinner. That's awesome. That's mainly for reporters, okay? We're going to the climate change rally on Saturday, so come join us and march with us. To fight for climate change. And then most importantly, on Sunday at high noon at Busboy and Poets on 5th and K, I believe, I'm going to do a speech on what the resistance actually means. Not what the establishment media tells you it means, not what the establishment Democrats tell you it means, what the resistance actually means. And it's going to be raucous. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. That's why I'm telling you. Sign up at tytnetwork.com/resistance, and then we can text you or email you to tell you exactly when and where all these speeches are, wherever it is in your neck of the woods. And again, this weekend, it happens to be in Washington, D.C. Then you could wait to, for example, we'll go to point two now. Wait to receive your SMS about climate march and the resistance rally and respond accordingly to RSVP for either event. Especially for the resistance rally, guys. You got to RSVP, otherwise you might not get in. It's limited space. So we're going to pack that place. RSVP right now. Go to tytnetwork.com/resistance. Go through this. Do the texting and RSVP so that you can make sure you reserve your spot. So if you're anywhere near the area, I can't wait to see you on Sunday and certainly at the climate rally on Saturday as well in Washington. And let's show these folks what we're all about. Okay, now. Let me go back to the stories. Okay. So there's a right way to critique the media and there's a wrong way to critique the media. This is what I talk about all the time. The right wing wants to destroy the media because they want to replace it with their propaganda. They don't believe in facts. They attack everything that brings you facts. Media, professors, scientists, etc. Right? Those of us on the left who do, yes, criticize the corporate media, we do it so that we make it better. Because we absolutely need media. We need objective fact gathering. So now, the guys on the right, like Nick Fuentes, do not agree. He's on a show, on a network, ironically called The Right Side. Agree to disagree. First of all, he talks about the First Amendment. Get a load of this knucklehead and his complete misunderstanding of what America is all about. Watch.
The First Amendment was not written for Muslims, by the way. It wasn't written for a barbaric ideology that wanted to come over and kill us. It was written for Calvinists. It was written for Lutherans and Catholics, not for Salafists, not for Wahhabists, not for the Saudi royal family. Don't think the founders had that one in mind. And it also was intended for citizens, not for immigrants. You know, if the First Amendment protected everyone's right to have their religion and express it in every country, we'd have our police in the Congo or in Uganda fighting against the Lord's Resistance Army.
I love the smugness while saying the most horrific and incorrect things. I'm pretty sure the Constitution says you shall not establish a religion, that the state is not allowed to do that. So that would mean that it is not just for Calvinists. It would mean that it is for all religions and no religions. In fact, the founding fathers that he so smugly and incorrectly quotes said this is in no way a Christian nation. They even said in the Treaty of Tripoli that Mohammedan, as they called them back then, are just as welcome here as any religion. So your facts, unsurprisingly, are completely wrong. But I wouldn't bother doing that story. A lot of right-wing idiots are completely wrong about that because they want a theology. They're the American Taliban. If they could, they'd rip our Constitution apart and put in their own fundamentalist beliefs, kind of like Sharia law. But that's not why we're doing the story. We're doing it because of what he says next. Listen.
Why don't we hear about it in the mainstream media? Why don't we don't hear about it on Fox News, by the way, either. And why not? Who runs the media? Globalists. Time to kill the globalists. I don't want to not watch CNN. I don't want CNN to go out of business. I don't want CNN to be more honest. I want people that run CNN to be arrested and deported or hanged.
So is there a difference between the right wing and the left wing? Yeah, you betcha. So ironically, this is what the mainstream media gets wrong. They constantly do neutral reporting rather than objective reporting. Objective reporting is this guy's a nut. He doesn't understand the Constitution. In the Constitution, you don't have to call him a nut. You leave that to me. But you do have to report that in the Constitution it says you shall not establish a religion. That is not what the country's about. He is 100% wrong factually, right? But the mainstream media oftentimes go, well, he said this and she said that. Republicans say this, Democrats say, who's to know who's right and who's wrong? The left wing say we should make the media better. The right wing say we should all be murdered. I don't know. I can't tell who's right and who's wrong. I'll tell you who's right and who's wrong. Nick Fuentes is wrong. Even his own employers were like, oh, talk of killing them. We shouldn't, that's not the part we say out loud. So the CEO of Right Side Broadcasting Network, which I've never heard of, then put out this statement right away. He said, it has come to our attention that one of our hosts, Nick Fuentes, made some inappropriate comments, you think so, regarding CNN and others on one of his shows earlier this week. Though we believe Nick's comments were made in jest, did it really look like he was joking? It didn't look like that at all. They are still unacceptable, inappropriate, and do not reflect the view of our team here at Right Side. We are currently reviewing the matter and will handle it internally. By the way, to give you a further sense that he wasn't joking, his producers later went on to retweet someone congratulating him for those comments. Oops. And then when they realized, oh, he could get fired from this non-existent network, whoever the hell these folks are, they're like, oh, okay, panic. And then they deleted that tweet. You know, we can see the deleted tweets. I don't think the right wing has caught on to that. They're not very good with technology. Okay, so yes, mainstream media, there is a giant difference between the two sides. I know that oftentimes you don't believe us, but we're actually trying to make you better. And you might find that smug or patronizing, but I give what I hope is a constructive critique. Say, here's what's wrong and here's how I think is a smart, reasonable, and objective way of fixing it. Whereas these nut jobs, they've got no good intentions towards you. If they had it their way, well, they don't believe in democracy. They'd rip the press apart, and they'd rip our government and on our secular way of doing things completely apart. Because that's not who they are. They're fundamentalists, and fundamentalists are driven by different intentions altogether. Okay. So now we move forward to a different part of the press. Okay. Here we go again. The media has decided that they're going to attack us, me in specific. And but really, it's a little bit about me, as you'll see. They've got pictures, I'm in the title, etc. But no, it's really about attacking all progressives. And they can't help themselves, so they reveal it in the middle of the article that in fact the attack is about Bernie Sanders and the people who believe in Bernie Sanders, which by the way at this point would be over 60% of the country. So these guys think that they're helping the Democratic Party. These are not right-wing nut jobs, these are left-wing nut jobs. It's a place called the Daily Banter, but really, I know we're bad guys, the Daily Fluffer, because that's what they do. It's like the saddest part of the internet. Guys who are not part of the establishment, but desperately want to be, so they write these little things on this little blog, and they're like, oh please establishment, we don't like Bernie Sanders either. And we don't like Cenk Uygur, he's a really bad guy. Really bad guy, can you please hire me one day? Okay, so am I being unfair? Well, let's find out together. Okay, so the headline of the article is Cenk Uygur denies purity tests for progressives while demanding purity tests for progressives. Now, they are referring to an article that I wrote called Disproving the Myth of the Purity Test. In that article, I say, hey, look, guys, first of all, you tell me what you think the progressive purity test is, because the mainstream media constantly attacks progressives for that. It's as if they work for establishment Democrats. And I pointed that out in the article, and I said, so you tell me, because I have never seen it. You guys talk about purity tests, but you never tell me what the purity test is. So then I explained, for example, in the case of the Justice Democrats, and I'm one of the founders of that group, that's the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, as opposed to the corporate wing of the Democratic Party, which apparently Justin Rosario, the writer here, is part of, and proudly so. We have 23 things in our platform. No reporter ever asked me, hey, is your purity test that candidates that Justice Democrats support have to do 23 of the 23 things in your platform? They have to agree to every single position? They didn't even ask. If they had asked, they would have found out, no, actually, you only have to agree to one thing. One out of 23. So the so-called purity test is, you can't take corporate or PAC money. And the idea is not because we want to enforce every part of our ideology upon you. It's that we want you to be honest. So if you take donor money, there is excellent evidence that you will represent the donors. So what we're trying to do is get you to represent voters. Oh, these guys who want purity, like you want us to represent the voters? Purity test. But we can disagree on so many other issues. Oh, don't care, nope. But the funny thing is, as they say that I'm doing a purity test, they didn't even actually talk about that in the context of the article for what my purity test is. So substantively, even though it's a giant part of the article, like, oh, he has a purity test, you read and read and read. Well, you're like, where the hell is this purity test? So they're flummoxing. So flummoxing, I think that might, I probably made that word up. So let's now go to the rest of it. Before we do, they also put a picture of me, so you can begin to get a sense of where they're going with this article. That's fun. Gee, I can't tell if they're against me or not, or they're trying to smear me. Okay, now they say Elizabeth Warren, they claim, one of the most progressive people in all of Congress, will be disappointed to learn she's just another establishment shill. Oh, I guess they must have taken that from my article, except I didn't say that in my article, I didn't mention Elizabeth Warren at all. Well, they must have taken it from something I said on air, except I've actually never said that on air. In fact, on the night of the election of Donald Trump, here's what I tweeted. The very last tweet I sent that night on election night. Mark my words, Elizabeth Warren will destroy Donald Trump in 2020. It will be a historic landslide. Where's the part where I call her a shill and I'm opposed to her? See, they don't care about facts. They don't care about research. They don't care. They gotta smear the left, they gotta smear progressives. Oh, they want a purity test, they hate you. They even hate Elizabeth Warren. They keep going back to Elizabeth Warren over and over and over again as if I'm opposed to her. The entirety of the Young Turks opposed her. Just Democrats. It's just totally made up. It's not remotely true, as you can see right there. Okay, they continue. Like most ideologues, Uyghur is more than happy to shoot spitballs from the back of the classroom. It's easy to be morally pure when you don't actually have to govern or run for re-election every 2 years. But Justin, that doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? Because I'm not just sitting here in the studio. I actually am one of the founders of Justice Democrats. So we are going to run in elections. And we're going to run every 2 years. What are you doing, Justin? Oh, it looks like you're throwing spitballs at me. Are you running, Justin? Is anybody at the Daily Fluffer running for office? Or do you guys roll up your sleeves and, oh, let's go get him? Or is your idea of let's go get him like, hey, establishment Democrats, who would you like me to criticize next completely unfairly without any research? I'll do it. I swear I'll do it. Get in the game, dude. Get in the game. Let me see you run. We're going to run dozens of candidates, okay? And hey, great, man. We'll meet you in the battlefield. You back your corporatist Democrats. Oh, Dianne Feinstein. Of course, Medicare for All can't happen. It's not pragmatic. No, it's a government takeover. Oh, I love corporate Democrats. You support her. We'll support a primary against her. And I know you'll be so mad. Why do that to beloved Dianne Feinstein? You don't like the Democratic Party. She's such a good corporate Democrat. She agrees with almost all of her donor positions, but she doesn't hate gay people and black people. She's such a good Democrat. Why do you guys have to primary her? Hey, do you think there's some chance that we're going to lose a Senate seat in California? What's wrong with a primary? Primary is part of democracy. You don't want a primary because you love the status quo. That's exactly what we mean by the establishment. And primaries actually ruin parties. They lead to electoral losses. Really, what evidence do you have for that? In reality, Republicans have been primarying the hell out of their candidates. And guess what happened? They gained more seats. So primaries actually work. They make the party stronger. There's empirical evidence for that. Okay, he says, then he quotes me. I love this. He says, this is from my article. Do you know who the most popular politician in the country is right now? Bernie Sanders. He has a 61% approval rating. Hillary Clinton, the standard bearer for establishment Democrats, has a 35% approval rating. Tell me again why I have to listen to establishment Democrats. So there I state facts. Thank you for reiterating them. So now he's going to have a response. That's why he quoted it. I'm going to read you his response verbatim. The very next thing he says in response to that, he's like, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my bad. I thought I was the one that's not pragmatic and is not reasonable. So I state facts and you come with blah, 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 blah. Now, to be fair, his next sentence is, Uyghur and the Young Turks can fuck right off. Okay, wait a minute. What part of, you see, but that's what it is. It makes them so mad when you state the facts. When you say Bernie Sanders is very popular and Hillary Clinton is very unpopular, that's a fact, right? They go, facts, blah, blah, blah with facts. Fuck off. Those are my beloved establishment Democrats. How dare you call me establishment? How dare you? Okay, now this might be even better. Two sentences later, he says, instead of a respectful debate, TYT and their mob become some of the most abusive people on the internet. You just said Uyghur and the Young Turks can fuck right off. So what part of that was the respectful debate? No sense of irony whatsoever. All right, more substance. Now we finally get to the heart of the matter. Who cares about me, right? Look, we've got 80 million unique viewers on the internet. Some of the guys who work at the Daily Fluffer know that and it drives them crazy, right? I bet you most of them have bought into the Washington group thing. They're like, oh, it's the internet. I don't believe it. Dude, you guys are on the internet. I don't know what internet numbers are. I don't believe it, right? So why bother attacking me? Because it's not about me. It's about Bernie Sanders. So here's him going off on him. Everyone that did not support Bernie and hate Hillary with all their heart and soul were labeled unclean neoliberals. And after Bernie lost the primaries, they continued to scream about how evil and wicked Hillary was. That's funny. I thought I said that you should vote for Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure I said that, and I'm pretty sure I got a lot of heat and criticism for that, right? But no, according to the upside down world of Justin Rosario, no, you said Hillary's evil and you said not to vote for her. Well, that's just not true. So yet another case where you didn't bother checking any of your facts. But you can tell, oh, Bernie Sanders folks drives him crazy. And he says now, unless you think Bernie is completely innocent, He's still hard at work applying his own purity test to the Democratic Party he so obviously despises. Here we go. There you go. Let it out, Justin. Let it out. Bernie, he despises the Democrats. He has a purity test. It's Bernie's fault. Right, that's what I thought. Then he goes on to smear him. Oh, we're right back in this, man. And they'll say we started it, right? Listen to what he writes here. Sure, you ladies and your women's parts, this is referring to what he's claiming is Bernie's stance. Sure, you ladies and your women's parts are important, but you're gonna have to wait your turn. Same for you blacks and Latinos. We'll get to you later, but first we have to fix things for the working class. Well, the white working class at least. Now, when did Bernie Sanders tell you that your lady parts have to wait? When did he say blacks and Latinos have to wait? He never said any of that. When did he ever say white working class? He never said any of that. You see that? He just accused them of being sexist and racist. We're right back in the muck. This civil war ain't going nowhere, man. The only question is, are you gonna fight back or not? The establishment will smear us to no end, and they'll never, God knows who the Daily Fluffers are getting paid by, but they're going out there and they're like, okay, go attack, attack, call Bernie racist and sex again. By the way, why are they attacking Bernie again? Why are they attacking the left again? Because Bernie Sanders wouldn't do exactly as he was told. So he didn't endorse, or he hesitated before endorsing a Democratic candidate. They're like, get in line, Bernie, bow your head. He said, well, look, I wanna do progressive priorities, and you guys aren't voting that way. Get in line, Bernie, otherwise we release the hounds. And they have released the hounds. So Slate does an article, Washington Post does an article about how weird Bernie Sanders is, right after Bernie Sanders upsets the establishment. Then Slate does an article about how much his podcast sucks, even though it's ranked number two podcast in the country. And they go, yeah, but that's weird and you shouldn't listen to it. And then these guys start attacking us left and right. So now, but it turns out he's not just racist and sexist. They also say the LGBT community would like to be able to hold hands in public without being fired from their job or bullied in their school. None of these things are problems for Sanders and his many white and male followers, so they consider it a secondary issue. Where did you get that from? Quote, one thing that Bernie Sanders has said, or one law that he has championed that would tell you that he's against LGBT rights. Well, you can't. Because he has a stellar record on that. He's been fighting for that for decades while Hillary Clinton and your establishment buddies were still debating gay marriage. Well, my position on that has evolved. It evolved in 2013. But now you're gonna smear Bernie? Is that sufficiently pro-LGBT rights? Why? Because you gotta put a hatchet in his back. And this isn't about facts. This is about the establishment attacking anyone who's actually progressive. And yes, Justin, you are not progressive. If you say, let's take corporate money, our politicians should take it and do exactly as they're told. And we shouldn't do Medicare for all. And we shouldn't fight for any of those progressive priorities. And we shouldn't fight for education for all of our kids to have the American dream. Well, then no, that is not a progressive position. Sad day for you. Just admit it, move on with your life. Just say, I kind of like the pro-establishment position. That's why I work at the Daily Fluffer. That's our whole job. Just say it, Justin. Say it, okay? And then he ironically says, there's nothing wrong with Bernie's goals, but attaining them by throwing the rest of the Democratic coalition under the bus is not the way to go. But wait a minute, you just told me he's a sexist, a racist, and against LGBT rights. You didn't call him those words, but you obviously implied it when you say he doesn't care about women, and he doesn't prioritize blacks and Latinos or LGBT. So why do you say now, pretend that you're on his side? You're not on his side. You're not pushing for those progressive goals. So just say it, Justin. Stop pretending. Okay, now finally back to me. He says, the saddest part of all of this is that we all want the same goals, but again, agree to disagree. But while us pragmatic progressives understand that it's a long road with lots of setbacks, Uyghur wants all of those goals reached right now. And if you're not willing to burn the country to the ground to get it, you're not a real progressive. You're just part of the establishment and their status quo. Well, okay. People who actually talk about getting things right now, it's true, they're not real progressives. You know, it's us people. We're not pragmatic. We don't know how to get things done. Let me quote you a guy who talked about getting things done now. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. That was not me or Bernie Sanders, that was Martin Luther King Jr. talking about the fierce urgency of now. What is not pragmatic is what the Democratic establishment has done. They have lost the White House to a buffoon. Bernie Sanders didn't run against Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, your beloved Hillary Clinton, did, and she was a miserable failure. You know why we have Donald Trump? Because of you, because of Hillary Clinton, and because of the establishment. They ran a status quo campaign when we told you the American people didn't want status quo. We warned you and we were right and you were wrong, and it stings, and unfortunately your grotesque error leads to all of our pain right now. You caused Donald Trump. Secondly, you lost the Senate when you thought you were going to win it. You lost the House. You lost the Supreme Court. You lost 69 out of 99 state legislatures. What part of that is pragmatic? What part of that is winning? No, establishment Democrats have a record of grotesque failure, hideous failure. The reason Justice Democrats exist in the first place is to make sure that we stop those losses. Our idea is run to get votes. That's pragmatic. Represent the voters and they will vote for you. I know to the establishment who is so used to pleasing their donors, that seems like an outrageous thought, but it isn't. It's a democratic thought. And we will run in primaries and we will take out all these corporate establishment Democrats, and then we will beat the Republicans. You obviously have no idea how to do that. So step aside, Butch. We got it from here, okay? Go fluff somewhere else. JusticeDemocrats.com. Whether you like it or not, we're not spitballing here. We will meet you in the battlefield and we will kick those establishment Democrats in the ass. We will take their seats. And then we will maul the Republicans, because we're not going to run pro-banker campaigns. We're going to run campaigns where we're talking about jobs and justice, and we're going to win. So, hey, listen, we'll meet you in the battlefield, and if I'm wrong, you'll get to write as many snarky articles as you like. But I'm not going to be wrong. We're going to crush you, Young Turks. All right, back on Young Turks, let me read a bunch of tweets for you guys. David writes, meanwhile, the unity tour is one giant Democratic purity test. Now, if it wasn't, and it was a real tour where Bernie Sanders and Tom Perez, for example, got together and then shared ideas, and Perez would sometimes say Sanders, etc. No, the whole point was for Sanders to bow his head. When he didn't, that's when all these attacks began. Joanna J.M. Hicks says, and the Academy Award for Best Impersonation of a Corporate Democrat goes to Cenk Uygur. Thank you. Marcos Granger says, 90% positive. The image they chose to use for Cenk Uygur was in the middle of him saying, Washington. I think you might be quite right. JNF says, Cenk, be happy. These attacks mean they're afraid of you and afraid of us. That's the most important part. I'm nothing without you guys. What they're afraid of, and I've literally heard people in Washington say this, they're afraid of the TYT audience. I love it. Okay. Potemk226 says, and there it is, the Cenkism of the day. Step aside, Butch. William W. Watts says, been quite a while, but I love it when you get a fire on. Don't let up. Thank you, William. And speaking of being on fire, our journalism drive led us to hiring so many people, and we're going to do a whole 2.5 hour show extra on top of the regular show for you guys today about that, and give you some of the examples of their work and some of their videos, and you guys are gonna love it. May from Australia gave $50 to the campaign. Rachel from South Carolina gave $180. Christopher from Wyoming gave $300. 127 gets you this shirt, limited time, House TYT, and 270 gets you the soundboard, and 1,000 gets you one of the very few TYT rings left too. So can I see where we are right now actually on tytnetwork.com/go? Nope, okay, hold. I am curious, because if we get to 1750, we gotta hire a reporter. If we get to 2, we're gonna hire 2 reporters. So there's only about 5 days left, so we're hoping we can get to 2. We are gonna move on unless I see it. Nope. Sad day. I should have told you ahead of time. My bad. Let's go on to the next story. Let's go to Mike Flynn. We'll find out later in the program. Okay. So, Mike Flynn's in a world of trouble. Was the national security advisor for Donald Trump, and now there was a briefing from the Pentagon to the Oversight Committee in the House this morning, and they found out some very disturbing things. Sean Spicer was asked about it at the White House, and he's like, "For me, I don't know anything." Here, let's watch.
Does the White House believe that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn broke any laws in filling out his standard form 86 disclosure?
I don't. That would be a question for him and.
Does the White House believe that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn broke any laws in filling out his standard form 86 disclosure?
I don't. That would be a question for him and a law enforcement agency, whether or not he filled. I don't know what he filled out and what he did or did not do. That all happened. He filled that form out prior to coming here, and so it would be up to the committee and other authorities to look at that. I don't know.
I don't know. Who's Mike Flynn? I don't know. Yesterday, Trump was like, or actually on Friday, he said, WikiLeaks, never heard of him. After he said, I love WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is a treasure trove. So this is an old trick by the White House. In fact, we're going to come back to that in a second. They have a hilarious second excuse at the end. But so just so you know what we're talking about here, Flynn took $45,000 from Russia late 2015 to go over there, sit next to Vladimir Putin, literally at a dinner table, and celebrate the 10th anniversary of RT. Now, he's supposed to report that $45,000 when he was going through the procedure to become the national security advisor, and he didn't. He also apparently did not report money that he'd gotten from the Turkish government. These are giant no-nos. It's illegal not to report those things, and now that has come to light. So, which then brings us to Jason Chaffetz, who is the Republican in charge of the Oversight Committee, and who can't wait to leave the Oversight Committee. He's leaving Congress early to get the hell out of this position, because as a Republican, now he's going to tell you the former Republican National Security Advisor, Mike Flynn, is a disaster. And well, look, I'll let him say it. Listen to what he's got to say.
I see no information or no data to support the notion that General Flynn complied with the law, and that is he was supposed to seek permission and received permission from both the Secretary of State and the Secretary of the Army prior to traveling to Russia to not only accept that payment, but to engage in that activity. I see no evidence that he actually did that. As a former military officer, you simply cannot take money from Russia, Turkey, or anybody else. And it appears as if he did take that money, it was inappropriate, and there are repercussions for the violation of law.
Damn. I'm going to quote again what he said in the beginning there. No data to support the notion that General Flynn complied with the law. Oops. That dude's in a world of trouble, man. And of course, you got to wonder why. I mean, look, these guys in Washington do speeches all the time. They get paid obscene money. I mean, you remember Hillary Clinton got paid $225,000 a pop from Goldman Sachs. This is a $45,000 speech. Why not just report it? In Washington, that would be fairly normal. Did he have something to hide? Well, that's where it gets super interesting. Elijah Cummings, who was with Jason Chaffetz there, he's a Democrat on the Oversight Committee. He is the leader of the Democrats in that committee. He says, this is, quote, extremely troubling. Another Democrat on that committee, Representative Raja Krishnamurthy, says, what we see is that there's a lot of smoke here. He went on to say, we need an independent investigation ASAP. I've called for an independent 9/11 style commission. And the facts this morning that I saw in those documents, the classified documents, points to an ever growing need for this. Now, if it's just Mike Flynn being a clown, he's in a world of trouble and it'll end there. But if there was a reason why he covered it up and a reason why he didn't want to mention the money he got from Russia, and it relates to other people in the Trump administration, then a 9/11 style commission would be greatly warranted and could be a very interesting set of developments that are not good news for the Trump administration. Okay, we'll have to see about that. But now turning back to the administration, they had a great reason for why they're not cooperating with this investigation. The Hill reports, Legislative Affairs Director Mark Short said the committee is requesting documents that are not in possession of the White House because they involve Flynn's activity prior to President Trump's January 20th inauguration. Other documents sought by the committee from after January 20th involve sensitive information, he said. So in summary, I can't give you anything before January 20th. I also can't give you anything after January 20th. Okay, so the stuff before January 20th, irrelevant. The stuff before, after January 20th, too relevant. Sorry, can't give it to you either way. Well, isn't that awfully convenient? Well, whether you want to cooperate or not, that investigation appears to be headed in your direction. Oh boy. All right, so now final story for you guys, at least in this hour, and then we've got many, many hours left to go, many, many hours, and they're going to be tremendous. Okay, now I remember when Donald Trump was running for office and he said he was going to clean things up and he was going to hold the military accountable too. Really, he said he was going to, quote, reduce the cost of military programs wherever feasible. Well, let's find out if that happened. In fact, actually, his budget director, Mick Mulvaney, he was on the warpath when he was in Congress. You got to give him actually credit for this. I'm not kidding. So it's a rare principled conservative move when he said the overseas contingency operations part of the Pentagon budget was, quote, a slush fund. You know why? Because it is. He's right. Yes, Republicans are right from time to time. For example, the Republicans are against the Export-Import Bank. They think it's crony capitalism. They're right, it is crony capitalism. So they found the slush fund, Mulvaney did, in the Pentagon, and they were, so luckily he's now the budget director. Perfect position to kill it, right? Or to reduce it, or to bring some sort of efficiency to it. Nope. Now that they're in charge, not going in that direction. So Huffington Post reports the Trump budget would increase both overall defense spending and the amount that flows to the overseas contingency operations, what Mick Mulvaney called the slush fund. Oops, you see that? They never meant it. I mean, on the few things that they were right about, they talked a good talk, but the minute they're in power, they're like, nope, we're going to increase the slush fund, increase crony capitalism. So luckily, there are a few progressives left in Congress and they're fighting back. In this case, recently, Representative Ro Khanna from California sent a letter to Secretary of Defense James Mattis and the Pentagon's acting inspector general, accusing the defense contractor Transdigm Group of illegally overcharging the Department of Defense by acting as a, quote, hidden monopolist. Okay, I'm glad to see that Khanna's on the case. And so let's find out if he's right. Let's get into the details here, okay? Transdigm is essentially the Martin Shkreli of defense contractors, Huffington Post explains. It's a large holding company that searches for specialty parts used in heavy machinery, unique panels, connectors, cables, and other components that are produced exclusively by a single company. They then buy these producers and farmer bro them, dramatically inflating the price to exploit their monopoly. So if you don't remember, of course, Martin Shkreli was the guy who would go around buying drugs that in a way that it created a monopoly, and then he would dramatically increase their price, go, ha ha, they're life-saving drugs, you need them, so I'm going to quadruple their price, I'm going to 5x their price. So in this case, the Pentagon actually has rules against that. It's rules about predatory pricing, you're not allowed to do that. So what does Transdigm do? They go around buying the companies, but they do and have them pretend to bid, but they actually own all the companies. So since they all own the companies and it's a hidden monopoly, they then jack up the prices anyway. So let me give you details on that. Khanna's letter cited five specific aerospace parts the company had jacked the price on, including a cable assembly that went from $1,773 to $7,863 after being acquired by the same company. The price of a Transdigm motor rotor soared from $654 to $5,474. The company's own filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission state that 80% of its sales come from parts which Transdigm believes itself to be a monopolist. Now, why do they actually admit that? Because they're bragging to their investors, hey, don't worry, man, we actually created these monopolies. They don't have a choice. We can charge them anything they want. And it's the Pentagon. They don't care. So we're just taking money from the American taxpayer. And now, oh, Trump and Mulvaney is in. They're going to let us get away with highway robbery. They're getting rid of all the regulations. So they're telling investors, don't worry, we're going to make even more money. Okay. The report continues, not all of the company's parts even work. In 2016, the Washington Post reported that drones were crashing due to a faulty starter generator supplied by a Transdigm subsidiary. By the way, this is another part of the problem for a monopoly. When you have a monopoly, you can jack up prices. You also don't have to make products that are very good because we literally have no other choice. Now, again, if we were following the laws of this country, we wouldn't allow that. The Pentagon wouldn't allow that because they don't allow predatory pricing, but they don't enforce those laws. They know what's going on. You think that Ro Khanna was the first guy to figure this out? No, he's the first guy asking for accountability, saying, I don't want you to waste taxpayer money. Okay, no less than 12 Transigen subsidiaries failed to disclose to the Defense Department in their procurement filings that they were owned by that same company, according to Khanna. And finally, Transigen did not respond to requests for comment. The company's chief executive, W. Nicholas Howley, received $18.7 million in 2016, more than the chief executives of Apple, Boeing, or Citigroup. Well, you can make a ton of money if you're the only game in town. This should be against the law. It is against the law. We're not enforcing it, and they're openly bragging about it. So here's one of the most progressive members of Congress saying, I'm here to protect the taxpayers. Conservatives, where are you? I thought you said that you wanted to protect taxpayers. I thought you said you were against crony capitalism. I thought you said you were against the slush fund. Turns out all you're doing is protecting it. Those are the facts. Okay, now when we come back, huge fights within the Republican wing. Glenn Beck versus Roger Ailes, Glenn Beck versus Tommy Lahren. But in going after Tommy, in supporting Tommy Lahren, a judge might be endangering freedom of the press. So that's a very important story that we'll share with you when we return.